Marriage. How many of you have a blessed marriage? I asked that a while ago. Yeah, you better raise your hand. I look back there. Travis got his up in a hurry. but I want to start off with something funny. Because I believe that God, if you're married, you got to laugh. Amen? You got to laugh. Because there's ups, there's downs, there's hilltops, there's valleys. It's sometimes can be like a roller coaster. But God was the one that created marriage. He knew what he was doing. And sometimes you just got to laugh at each other. And Jade and I, we have learned to laugh at each other. Instead of getting mad at each other, we've learned to laugh at each other. But I found this, and I thought this was funny. This was Red Skelton's Success for a Happy Marriage. He was a comedian, and so I'm going to give you a few of these. And he says this. He says, 2 times a week we go to a nice restaurant. Have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesdays, I go on Fridays. Oh. And then he says this, I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back home. Oh, boy. I asked my wife where she wanted to go for our anniversary, somewhere I haven't been in a long time, she said, so I suggested the kitchen. Uh-oh. Okay, this is from a guy. Red Skelton was a man. You're figuring that out now. And ladies, don't worry. We'll get to some more jokes here in just a little bit. We always hold hands. If I let go, she shops. here's another one. She got a mud pack and looked great for 2 days. Then the mud fell off. Not good. Here's another one. I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. And there's a lot of truth to that, too. I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months. I don't like to interrupt her. I thought those were good. But we got some more jokes here in just a second. So today we're gonna look at having a blessed marriage. And I want you to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 3. And this is what Jesus, I wanted to find a passage of scripture that Jesus, where he talked about marriage. And so this is what Jesus said about marriage. And this is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. And I've put them up here on the big screen as well. But I encourage you to bring your Bibles so you can see them. Follow along too, but Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 10, it says, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning, talking about in the book of Genesis, the Creator God made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Verse 6 says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And then in verse 10, and I love this, when you read the Bible, you've got to read it with a sense of humor, okay? And get in the disciples, and the disciples were sitting there hearing Jesus talk about this. And a lot of these guys were married, but this is what they said. The disciples said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry. I don't even want to get married. That's what the disciples said that day. So in response to the Pharisees' question in verse 3, Jesus gave them 3 reasons why married people should remain married. And I want you to write these down if you're taking notes there in your bulletin. But number 1, and here in just a little bit, we're going to get to the 7 C's. We're going to sell the 7 C's of the blessed marriage. They all start with the letter C. We'll get to that here in just a second. But in this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 10, Jesus tells them 3 things about marriage. And the first one he said was, God made one male and one female. So if God had intended more than one wife for Adam, he would have created more. Amen? But he didn't. One man and one woman. The same would be true of husbands for Eve. God created marriage, not man. He made us for each other. This was thought up by God. God, in his wisdom, said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And he made husband and wife. All right, the second thing that Jesus says is God ordained marriage as the strongest bond in all of human relationships. A man is to leave his parents and be joined with his wife. And that word leave means to abandon. In the King James Version, it says cleave, which means joined. It also means glued to be glued to. A man is to leave his parents, cleave to his wife, then weave a life of beauty with her. And the most permanent relationship in society is not between parent and child. Amen? It's between husband and wife. And I've been a pastor now. Oh, it's like 25 years I've been in pastoral ministry, and I've done a lot of counseling. And I'm not up here talking like an expert, because Jade and I, we're still working on our marriage. Marriage takes work. But I've seen so many things where it's called the law of priority. When you let a child get in between you and your spouse, or you let in-laws get in between you and your spouse, and you don't prioritize your relationship, and you've got to set boundaries on your marriage and on your relationship. You can't let kids get in between it. And because kids, I see a lot of kids out here, and you're going to be gone one day. When you're 30, you're still not living at home. One of these days, you're going to be gone. And Jade and I, we're in this phase of life called the empty nest, where our daughter has left the home, and she's married now, and we love it. I love it. I'm falling in love with Jade all over again. It's fun. I'm going to stop right there. Okay. Moving along. She's not out here, and if she was here, she'd be, you shut. Okay. But you got to have that law of priority, and you can't let in-laws get in there. I've counseled couples where the in-laws were in between, the two spouses, and you can't let that happen. You've got to set boundaries on your relationship, because it's the strongest bond in all of human relationships between you and your spouse outside of your relationship with the Lord. And then the third thing Jesus said is the two become one flesh. And if you've been to any wedding ceremony, you've heard these scriptures out of Genesis. They're out of Genesis chapter 2. The two shall become one flesh. And one flesh is so much more than the physical act of sex. It's so much more than that. It's becoming one spiritually, emotionally, mentally, yes, physically, but also relationally and financially, at one in every area of life. Marriage is not me and you, it is we. And if you have your spouse here today, look at him and say, it's we. It's we, not me. Marriage is not a legal contract or a social thing. Marriage was created by God, and marriage is a sacred covenant. And outside your relationship with the Lord, and I just said this, the number one relationship in your life is with your spouse. In verses 4 and 8 of Matthew 19, Jesus was reminding the Pharisees in the beginning. He was saying, guys, go back, because these guys knew the Bible, they knew the Word of God. He was saying, go back to the book of Genesis and see how the Creator created marriage. God's original purpose for marriage was that the union should not be broken. But because of the hardness of our hearts is why divorce came in. And I'm not here to condemn. There's no condemnation here today, because I have been in pastoral ministry for many years, and there are so many, reasons why people divorce today. And there's no condemnation here. We're a church that believes this. What Jesus just said in Matthew chapter 19, yes, if there's been adultery, that's legal grounds for divorce. And I always use Pastor Jimmy Evans, who we saw in our XO Marriage Conference. Their teaching in marriage today is this. He calls them the three A's. That's how I remember them. Is adultery is number one, and that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19. Number two is abuse, physical, mental, emotional, sexual, whatever. There's no way as a pastor that I'm going to sit down across from a woman who is beat up black and blue and say, hey, honey, hang in there. He's going to change. I'm not going to do that. Abuse, that's a no-no. That's a no-no. And then the third is abandonment. There's some relationships where one of the other spouse, the husband or the wife, has totally abandoned the relationship. They're not even engaged in the relationship anymore. And those are three grounds for divorce. And God, in all three of those, though, I've heard stories in all three of those, though, with God's redemptive power and forgiveness, they've worked out, but sometimes they don't because of the hardness of people's hearts. One or the other, I've seen one spouse want to change and the other not want to change. And guess what? That marriage didn't work. It was because that spouse, one of the spouse's hearts was hardened by sin. We're going to call it what it is. But I've also seen the beauty of couples working through adultery, working through abuse, and also working through abandonment too. It's pretty awesome. God's forgiveness is powerful. His love is powerful. But Moses permitted it due to the hardness of their hearts. And what I have learned in my own marriage, that marriage is a daily lesson on forgiveness. Hello, anybody else here today? How many of you had to forgive your spouse this morning? You better not raise your hand. Yeah. I saw two hands raising here. All right. So that's what Jesus had to say about marriage. Now I want to go back to the book of beginnings in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28 and verse 31. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Everybody say, God blessed them. Blessed them. We're talking about the blessed marriage. And said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. In verse 31, and I want you to show you about this word blessed. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The word blessed in Genesis 1 and also the word blessed in Proverbs 10 means this. In this scripture, it means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fertility, and longevity. You are better with your spouse than without them. And everybody said, amen. You may not feel like it at times, but you really are. And so we're going to look at the seven C's of communication today. And these are characteristics that you need operating in your marriage so you can have a blessed marriage. And I call these the seven C's. And here's number one. And if you've got your bulletin insert, you can take notes. Number one is communication. Guys, we're going to have to learn how to communicate. Instead of outside of grunts and nudges and yes and no's, we have to learn how to communicate and talk to our spouse. I'm still learning, all right? I'm not good at this. You think, well, Pastor Mark, he probably talks to Jada all the time and preaches to her and talks her leg. No. I talk to you guys, and when I get home, I'm like, and she's like, honey, how you feeling? I'm okay. You know, and I've realized, no, that's not okay. She wants the details. How was your day? It was fine. No, she wants me to start in the morning when I got up and suck every brain cell out that I have about how my day was and how I felt about this and how I felt about that. But here's what some things about words. A Newsweek article said that the average couple only spends 4 minutes a day talking to each other. And I'm talking that one-on-one conversation. And I love this out of Ephesians 4:29 is our scripture here. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's how we need to talk to our spouse. But I don't know about you, but sometimes Jade and I, we have rapid discussion is what I call it. Intense discussions sometimes. And what I have found, and I've been married, I'm going on this year, I will be married in August 22nd, 26 years. And I'm going to clue some guys in here just a little bit. The war of words, guys, we are never going to win that war. So you might as well surrender now. And you might as well learn how to say, honey, you're right. And this is where I'm going to get on the ladies' side, all right? Women are going to win every time in the war on words. And I've got, you know, I know this is a serious deal, but I have some jokes, and I believe that God's got a sense of humor, don't you guys? And so I just want to bring some jokes in here because I know how serious this is, because some of you probably had words with one another on the way here this morning. But here's some jokes on words. A husband read an article to his wife about how many words women use a day. 30,000 to a man's 15,000. And the wife replied, the reason has to be because we have to repeat everything to men. And the husband then turned to his wife and asked, what? All right. Now, guys, I've told you, we're never going to win this war on words, all right? Promise you. I've got a few jokes to point this out. A man said to his wife one day, "I don't know how you can be so stupid and so beautiful all at the same time." And the wife responded, "Allow me to explain. God made me beautiful so you would be attracted to me, and God made me stupid so I'd be attracted to you." You're never going to win, guys. Never going to win. Never going to win that war. I love this one. God may have created man before woman, but there's always a rough draft before the masterpiece. Here's two more jokes. I got two more for you about words. The silent treatment. How many of you do the silent treatment sometimes? Okay. A man and his wife were having some problems at home and were giving each other the silent treatment. Suddenly, the man realized the next day that he would need his wife to wake him up at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose, you know, you don't want to lose when it's on the silent treatment, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. He left it where he knew she would find it. The next morning, the man woke up, only to discover it was 9 a.m. and he had missed his flight. Furious, he was about to go and see why his wife hadn't wakened him when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed, and the paper said, "It's 5 a.m., wake up." Men are not equipped to win these kind of contests, I promise you. Here's another one. This is a good one, and I'll stop with this one because I'm just trying to prove a point to the guys. We are never going to win this war on words with the ladies because they're wordy. They know their words. Here's one. A couple drove down a country road for several miles, not saying a word. An earlier discussion had led to an argument, and neither of them wanted to concede their position. So there's that silent treatment again. And as they passed a barnyard of mules, goats, and pigs, the husband asked sarcastically, "Relatives of yours?" And the wife replied, "Yep, they're in-laws." You're never going to win, guys. But with that being said, because I want us to laugh at this too today, what is corrupt communication? That's in Ephesians 4:29, where it says unwholesome talk. In the King James, in the New King James Version, it says corrupt communication. And what corrupt communication is bad language, it's meanness, improper use of anger, you know, even the tone of your voice, quarrel. I mean, you're going to fight, but fight on purpose, you know, and don't bring up the past and things that happened 20, you know, even before you got married and all those kind of things. Harsh words, bad attitudes. Here's some other things. You know, corrupt communication goes even beyond all that. It even goes into your body language. Speaks even if your mouth isn't. So communication is a skill you must learn through practice, but the bottom line is you've got to talk to each other. And sometimes I've found out just because you're talking doesn't mean you're communicating. You've got to open up and share your heart and what's going on and everything. And I've learned, and I'm still learning, guys, is the answer is fine, good. You got to get more detailed than that and share your heart with one another. And it goes both ways. Communication goes both ways. Number two is consideration. And what I have found that marriage does, it roots out selfishness in you. And that's one of the messages that Pastor Jimmy brought last weekend during the XO Marriage Conference was he said the picture of a beautiful marriage is two servants serving one another. And the picture of a bad marriage is two selfish people going the opposite directions. So we want to serve one another. So marriage roots out selfishness in you, and there's nothing worse than two selfish people being married to each other. The Bible teaches that we should show our love by being helpful to each other, and those are the two scriptures up there. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." And then Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So being considerate simply means paying attention to what your spouse says, showing common courtesy, and treating each other with respect. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story on me that I started doing this and started paying attention. Jada is very tuned in to our home. And most women are wired that way. All the stuff that's at the house and making the home a beautiful place and a safety and refuge and all that. And Jada's very good at that. And I found out one time that I was kind of taking her for granted. Jada's a good cook. Hence, that's why I've gained 100 pounds since high school. She's a very good cook, and I like to eat. And so I found out one day that I was taking her for granted. And it happened this way. I'm going to tell you how it happened. It happened in a funny way. We laughed about it, but it wasn't laughable. But one day I thought, man, I'm going to do it. This is guys. Here's guys. I'm going to hit a home run. And she is going to go in there, and she's going to cook dinner like she normally does. But as soon as we have dinner over, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do the dishes. And all the ladies are in there saying, yeah, you better do that, you know. Well, I get up, and I'm doing the dishes, and I'm thinking, man, I am scoring so many points right here. This is so awesome. And all I'm doing the dishes, you know what it was? Rinsed them off, putting them in the dishwasher, okay? Big, big whoop. And so this is where I learned a valuable lesson, guys. Don't ask for credit for consideration. And so I told Jada, I said, honey, look at me. I don't know how I said it, but I tried to. Honey, did you notice that the dishes are all put up? And she said, did you notice that I cooked dinner? And I was like, you're never going to win the war on words, guys. I was like, okay, just be considerate. And everybody said, don't point out your consideration. Did you see how considerate what I was? I opened the door for you. Don't do that. All right, here's number three. Number three is compromise. 1 Corinthians 13:5 teaches us that love does not demand its own way. Let's read it out of the NIV. It says, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. So people that won't compromise have the it's my way or the highway mentality. The unloving thing to do is to try to change your spouse. Instead, you should yield your rights and learn the art of negotiation and compromise. More marriages die from inflexibility than from adultery. Got to learn how to compromise. Marriage is more give than take. Way more give than take. Everybody ready for another joke? It's getting kind of quiet in here. All right, this guy learned a valuable Valentine's lesson. He went out and bought his wife a mood ring. All right, now listen to this. My husband, being unhappy with my mood swings, bought me a mood ring the other day so he would be able to monitor my moods. We've discovered that when I'm in a good mood, it turns a beautiful blue-green. When I'm in a bad mood, it leaves a big red mark on his forehead. Maybe next time he'll buy me a diamond. All right, guys, you got to compromise. And ladies, you got to compromise too to work with one another. All right, here's number four. The fourth C is courtship. Is everybody learning something today? All right, number four is courtship. That also is another word for dating. The Lord said this about the loveless church in Revelation 2, verses 4 through 5. It says, yet I hold this against you, and this goes in our relationship with the Lord as well. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And I understand, guys, I can remember when Jade and I first got married for a couple of years, then kids started coming, and man, you know, we didn't, and I wish we could go back and do some things over, but thank God we were learning these things now. But having a date night, and if you can do it every week, that's awesome. You definitely need to do it at least once a month. But if you can do it every week, that would be awesome. And you don't have to spend money doing it. It may just be, you know, getting a babysitter and the kids go somewhere else and you just stay at home or get a babysitter and go out and eat somewhere and go to a movie but have a date night, have that courtship, keep that alive. And so what this is saying is we need to go back in our marriages and do the first works, dating and courting. If there were more courting in marriage, there'd be fewer marriages in court. And everybody said, amen. You need to date your mate. If your marriage has lost some of its spark, ask yourself if you're acting the same way as when you went out on those first few dates. Can you imagine how different our relationships would be if we always behaved as though we were still wooing our significant other? How much less would we belch, pass gas, complain, argue, curse, whine, and nag? That's the truth, guys. I don't know about you, but I live in a real world. How about that, you know? And we're going to talk about real things here, but that's what happens. How much more would we bathe, wear cologne and perfume, dress up, smile, caress, encourage, give, clean, hug, and communicate, kiss, all those kind of things? I encourage you to repent and do the first works, and the spark will come back. Now, I know I told this story a few weeks ago on our first message But it's one of the stories that I remember when I first started dating Jada. When we started, we were high school sweethearts, and my dad had bought us, the family, a Thunderbird, a T-Bird at that time. And so that was what I was driving back and forth to school. And we had prom that year, and so I'd asked Jada to go to the prom with me. And I spent a whole day cleaning this T-Bird, guys. I'm talking a whole day. I cleaned it. I waxed it. I mean, if you got up next to it, you'd slide off. That's how I had it waxed that well. And that was back in the day. I graduated in 1987, so I grew up in the 80s, and the big cologne in the 80s was green Polo. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to wear Polo that night, but what better way to make, I mean, I'm going to spray this Polo in this, I had the cloth seats in this T-Bird. I'm going to spray green Polo in the seats. I sprayed it all over the back seat. I used half a bottle of Polo, I can guarantee, and in the front seat. And I mean, I had to roll down. I was like, my gosh, I have sprayed too much in here. I mean, it was just like a green fog in there. And so I had to roll down the windows, let it air out. And I remember Dad coming down into the garage, because where I was at, I was even waxing with toothpicks, you know. I was getting after it. And green Polo just smelled up the whole garage. And I remember Dad coming down there, and he was watching me, and he said, Mark, you must really like this girl. And I told Dad, I said, Dad, I love her. And I didn't know at that time it was the girl that ended up marrying, you know. And so, but I've often thought about that. You know, it's just like, now you're just like, honey, jump in. You don't even open the door for it. Move the McDonald's sacks out of the way. You know, we're like that now. But we got to go back and do the things at the beginning, the courtship. You know, take a bath, for the love of Jesus, take a bath. You know, put some cologne on, all those kind of things. All right, I'll quit. But really, guys, I'm telling you, if you've lost the spark, really, it is that easy just to start dating each other again. You know, get a babysitter, work at it. It's going to take time, you know, find a baby, you know, you're going to have to plan it out. It's not going to be like it was when you was young and it was just spontaneous. You know, this, you're going to have to maybe plan for a month to have one date night. But you know what? In the planning is the fun part of it, because you're that suspense, you're building up for it. All right, moving right along. Courtship is number four. Number five is another C word called cash. Conflict over money is still the leading cause of divorce today, and I encourage you to get a financial plan. Don't live paycheck to paycheck. I know that's easier said than done in today's society. Have a plan for each paycheck, and if you don't know how to take care of finances, I'm still learning myself to do that. Get with Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is one of the best financial experts that there are. He has a great that there is, and he's got a great ministry. You can listen to him on the radio. You can go online, get his stuff to help you. You can download it. A lot of his stuff is for free. But it's Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one, talking about husband and wife, because they have a good return for their labor. And so there's tremendous value in marriage if you see each other as a team, and you got to work as a team and get on a plan. And everybody said amen. All right, here's number six is commitment. You know, I'm going to tell off on myself, because I know we have some young people here today, but I wish that I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell off on myself. I had commitment issues when Jade and I first started dating, and then after we dated and we were getting serious, and I knew she was the one. She also knew that I was the one as well, but we decided that, and because of my lack of commitment issues that I had, that we were going to live together first. So we cohabitated. And I look back on that time, this was in my BC days before Christ, I wish that we would have went ahead and got married. And we live in a society today that is afraid of commitment. You know, and they think, well, it's just a piece of paper. No, it's more than that. It's the book of Genesis. It's marriage. It's a covenant. And so there were many times in our marriage after we did get married that we might have bailed out, but we locked the escape hatch, agreeing, and this is the word that we decided that we were never going to bring up between one another, was the D word, divorce. That is never going to be brought up. So we got that out of our vocabulary. And so what that happened was it forced us to change, to become flexible, to learn compromise, and to grow out of our selfishness. And everybody said, amen. And I am still growing out of my selfishness. Anybody else in here? I am. Still am. After 26 years of marriage, I'm still growing out of selfishness. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know that Jesus was committed to you before you were committed to him? He made that commitment to you at the cross. So I thank God that he is committed. Even when we mess up, God is still committed to us. He doesn't kick us out. Even if you mess up, he doesn't say, oh, you're divorced. Get out of here. You know, he doesn't do that. All right, and here's number seven. The last one is Christ. And I cannot stress, this should be number one, but I made it number seven because it's the most important thing is you got to have Jesus at the center of your marriage. You got to have God at the center of your marriage. The greatest thing you can do for your spouse is to become like Christ and then begin to treat your spouse like Christ would. Spiritual growth, and listen to me, spiritual growth is not knowing more about the Bible. It is becoming more like Jesus, becoming more like Christ. And so here, I want to just give you a few things if you want to write down. There's just five real quick things under Christ on how to create spiritual intimacy in your marriage. Number one, you need to talk about it. Communicate, talk about it. And what I mean by that is don't preach at your spouse, talk, listen to them. Don't try to be their counselor. Amen. Jade and I, being in ministry, pastor's wife, there's times Jade will look at me and she says, Mark, don't use Bible on me and don't counsel me. I just want to talk, you know. And there's times I've looked at her and said, you're getting in your little counseling hat on. I don't need counseling. I just need to vent. I just need to talk. Amen. Don't be their Holy Spirit Junior. You're not Holy Spirit Junior. All right, here's the second thing is, and it's right up there with talk about it, is, and I've shared this here before, and I'll share it all the days of my life, but I can tell you when things really started changing in our marriage and in our walk with God and our walk with each other is when we started praying together. And you may be sitting here and you may be the lady, the wife in the marriage, and you say, well, my husband doesn't pray with me. You pray with him. Just grab his hand and pray with him and for him. Pray about, there's times Jada will do that for me. Just, Jada and I, we pray together and I will pray out loud. And a lot of guys, I can remember when I was intimidated to pray with Jada because I was like, I'm going to screw this up and I don't know what to say. And you know, is God going to hear me and blah, blah, blah. And all you got to do is just pray about what's going on in your life and what's going on in your spouse's life and tune into their needs and pray over them. And I'll give you an example with us. This week, I had to do a funeral for, and please keep Heather Hunter and her family in your prayers, but her mother passed away and we did her service in Woodward at a funeral home there. And I had to do the service. Well, on the way there, Jada just reached over and grabbed my hand and started praying for me, for the service and praying for me. And it was just awesome, guys, when you pray for one another and what's going on in your day. And I have done that with her as well. The third thing is study the scriptures together. You know, if you're here with your spouse, I know a lot of your spouses are out working in the oil field. God bless them. Thank God for that. But, you know, go to church together, study the scriptures together, serve God together. And then the last thing there is, so number three was study the scriptures together, go to church together. Number four is serve God together. That's still under go to church together. And then number five is dream together. You know, talk about your dreams and visions and where you're going as a couple and as a family. I want you to listen to this. Marriage and Divorce magazine discovered that when a couple is married in a Christian ceremony, and it doesn't have to be at church, but it's a Christian ceremony, and they attend church faithfully after they get married, and they pray and read the Bible together, then the chances for divorce drop to 1 out of 1,105. That's pretty awesome. So when you have Jesus at the, and the reason why it works is because God Almighty is the one that created marriage. And so when both of you love Christ even more than you love each other, then you'll automatically grow together and cry. And here's what happened. Jesus is not going to fight against Jesus. Amen. He's going to become one. And so to have a blessed marriage, we must go back to the beginning and have God Almighty at the center of our marriage. And this is what Jeremiah 6:16 says. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And the ancient paths is the book of Genesis. God created marriage in the book of Genesis, and that's where the good way is, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. And everybody said, amen. All right. I'm going to tell you something about Jade and I. Nothing has challenged us so much as the challenge to build our marriage, yet nothing else in our lives has been so rewarding as in building our marriage. So I encourage you guys that are married here, and one of these days, you know, I'm looking out here and I'm seeing young ones, and I see Rachel back there because she is as old as my daughter. One day, Rachel, you're going to be married soon in the name of Jesus. You know, remember these words, these seven things, and God wants you to have a blessed marriage. He wants all of us to have, and it doesn't matter where your marriage is at. You can go back and start doing these things and have a blessed marriage. And everybody said, it's worth the effort. It takes work, but it's worth the effort. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday because we have people here, and we also have people that are watching by Church's Aid, and there'll be people listening to this on the radio as well. As always, want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we do what Romans 10 says. Romans 10 tells us to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want the privilege of leading you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. If your spouse is here, I want you to grab their hand. Okay, and I know some of your spouses are not here today. That's okay, because I'm going to speak a blessing over you and over your marriage and over your home. And even if you're not married, this is blessing is going over you too as well, right? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, you're blessed. You're blessed. You are dismissed today. Love you guys.